All right, everybody. Good morning on this Wednesday morning. Listen, we're going to have to move pretty fast this morning because we have a terrible storm, which may be a tornado. Our internet and stuff's been going in and out. So I'm going to go ahead and get started so we can go ahead and get you guys word. But if we get disconnected, then you guys know what is happening. But Lord, we just thank you so much for protection for me and Dennis, this farm, the animals. And we thank you for being with us, Lord, and help us to at least get this broadcast done this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, what I'm going to do is go down the line, and I'm going to open up your line. So I will give you a minute or so. If you don't say anything, then I'm going to know that you don't have a word. On Wednesdays, we're going to do Garden Wednesdays, and that's where all the trees in the garden participate. So I'm asking that you guys give a word for about 10 minutes each. But don't forget, now Denise, good, Denise is on here. Denise, we've got terrible weather here, which may be a tornado. So if I get disconnected, please take over, Denise. What you got to do is just click on them. Don't say their names. And then they're going to give a word today. They've got 10 minutes and we will time them so we can get through everybody. All right. So we're going to go ahead and get started. Here we go. All right, sister, you got the floor. Okay, looks like she doesn't have anything. All right, you guys, you got the floor.
Good morning, everyone. I'm going to do a 10-minute sermon, and my wife will do it next time. So we'll start with, I'll just call this Be Prepared, and we'll just pray first. Holy God, please bless us with your word today. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. So I was a new Christian, and a Jehovah's Witness came to my door saying Jesus is the Son of God, not God. And he used scripture, scriptures like Matthew 3:17. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Matthew 27:43. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. So the gentleman was trying to explain to me there are two entities. And Jesus wasn't God. He was a man or something else. And this guy's name was Gus. So I'll use Gus. This was many years ago. So I told Gus I would need to look into the word and give him an answer. And, you know, he knew I was a new Christian, so he could just tell me anything, right? But I knew enough to know that Jesus was God in the flesh as well as man. So a week later, Gus comes back to my door. And I asked Gus, and I had spent the whole week, he happened to hit me at a good time because I was working shift work at the time. And every so often I get 7 days in a row. And I spent the majority of that time looking through the Bible. And I asked Gus when he come back, I said, do you believe in the Ten Commandments? And he said, yes. And I referred him to Exodus 20:4-5. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for the Lord thy God is a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Excuse me. So I said, do you agree? You're not supposed to worship other than God. And he said, yeah, absolutely, that's right. One God. Yeah, okay. So I turned them to Revelation 22, 8 to 9. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren of the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. So the angel was quite clear, you don't worship me. And at this point, I could see Gus's face go a little bit funny. I found out later that the Jehovah's Witness basically believe Jesus was God, an angel of some sort. So anyways, again, I said, Gus, let's look at Acts 10, 25 to 26. Another thing we've got to put in place here is that the Jehovah's Witness have a different scripture. And I didn't catch on to this at first because a lot of the scriptures are the same, but there's key ones that are not the same. They've actually changed the scripture for their purpose, okay? So far, the ones that I was pointing out, he could read in his too. So he was looking a little bit puzzled where I was going, but Acts 10, 25 to 26, as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. So there again, you don't worship men, okay? Only God. So then I took him to Luke 4, 8. And Jesus said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him alone shalt thou serve. So even Jesus pointed out to Satan when he was tempted, only worship God. So I told Gus, I said, look, now I'm going to show you something here. I said, many people in the Bible fell down and worshiped Jesus, and they were never rebuked by Jesus. And I said, let's look at Mark 5, 6. And always night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Matthew 28, 9. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Philippians 2, 10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. John 20, 28. There's many of these, but I'm not going to go through all of them. But John 20, 28. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. How am I doing for time? I'm not sure yet. But okay, so Gus was very baffled here. And he told me, he looked at me, and he says, I have to get my elder over here. Because even in his Bible, it showed that Jesus was worshipped and not rebuked. And only God is to be worshipped. And why I'm talking about this today is to point something out. And I learned this very early as a young Christian, which was many years ago now. We can't just hang our hat on a couple of scriptures. We need to know the Bible, the whole Bible. We have to, I've been blessed with my wife and I where we read every day. We read the Bible. That's what we start our day with. And we constantly read from front to back, front to back, front to back. And you get the whole Bible. So, but people, when you come across people in your travels and they hit you with a couple of scriptures that they've actually built a doctrine around, it's usually out of context, and they're trying to point out to you contradictions. Well, we know there's no contradictions in the Bible. It's a misunderstanding or incomplete understanding of what the scripture is and what it was used for in the context and the time and who Jesus was talking to. So, or the apostles. So it's not the scriptures that are off, it's their understanding. But if we know the Bible, we then can put it in context and help these people and help ourselves so we're not led astray. For example, like some of these people that, like Gus, he was led astray. Later on, this didn't stop there. We ended up getting the elder over to the house, and I said, well, I have to get my pastor. And he says, oh, your pastor won't come. And I said, we'll see. Well, of course he did. And we had a big meeting with the elder of the Jehovah's Witness Church in our city, and it was quite the show. There was no yelling or anything like that, which it turned out, basically, their scripture was changed, and ours wasn't. Theirs was changed by a handful of people, and ours followed the scriptures laid out from the Hebrew to the Greek to ours, and I learned a lot from the meeting, but Gus went away, and he just fell apart from that religion because it shook him up that bad. So, anyways, that's my point today. Know your whole Bible, not just the scriptures, because it can be used out of context. Thank you so much. Bless God for his word.
Wow, you get an A++. That was really excellent. All right, let's go on down the line. I really appreciate you doing that. It was really good. All right, let's check out the next person. Go ahead, sis. You got the floor.
I don't have any word today.
All right, no worries. Okay, let's go to the next one. Sis, you got the floor. I don't know if you was on here yesterday to know what we're doing.
No, I don't know what you're doing.
Well, we're opening the floor every Wednesday for you guys to give, so each of you have 10 minutes. All right, what about you, sis?
Oh, good morning. Yeah, I wasn't on yesterday because of work, but
okay.
So I have I don't know if we'd call it a testimony, but I was witnessing. I wasn't planning on it. This was actually at Thanksgiving, and I was at one of my sister's, actually my brother-in-law's mom's house, and there were about 30 people, and so I just happened to be sitting across from this young lady. Her name's Sarah, and she's a lovely, lovely lady, and she was a minister, a Methodist minister, and she's no longer in charge of the congregation, but she's still with the Methodists, United Methodists, like corporation or whatever, so she has a different position, okay? So when we were actually sitting across from one another, I mean, there were like 30 people at this table, and I was sitting directly across from her. And so I said, Sarah, tell me about your new job. So she was telling me, you know, and then she's like, I organize these events, you know, when these Methodists, you know, I guess regional, whatever, when they all get together. And she's like, and then like when we have new, what did she say, bishops or something like that. Something about new bishops. And I said, oh, that's interesting. I said, so do you all vote on that? And And she just started explaining to me, and then and I was like, oh, okay. And she's like, yeah, and I don't remember the exact words, but she just started saying how she was really, really happy because, you know, now they're allowing the LGBT people to become ministers and blah, blah, blah. And of course, I don't have a good poker face. And I just went, ugh, like this. And I looked at her and I said, oh, I said, that's an abomination to God. And she was like startled that I even said that. And I said it very softly, so it's not like everybody heard me. And it was interesting because she says, well, you know, the translation that went from Greek to blah, blah, you know, I mean, they just try to twist just like, you know, with the other religions, right? They twist God's word. They make it to where it benefits them, right? According to how they want to live their life. And so, like, she was just really, I could tell she was a little rattled, but I was like, thank you, Lord, you know? At least I was able to sow that seed, and it will be in the back of her mind. Me saying, oh, you know, like, that's an abomination to God, you know? So I just thought I wanted to share that. But I don't really have anything else, but I am in agreement with prayers for you and Papa D as far as your safety and on the farm. But I also am asking for prayer. My manager has been out of work for probably about 2 weeks now. Now, whether she does or not, she...
Now, Deborah, hold on. Deborah.
Yes.
man, I didn't mean to say your name. We are recording. The first part of this is only for preaching, and then we'll come back and do prayer. Hey. Yeah, so this is how this is going to work. Now, Deborah, you did really good because it's all about giving. So if you want to share a testimony, if you want to share a word, if you just want to encourage, that's what it's for. All that I ask is that you don't share other ministries or, you know, bring in any strange things. So you did really good, sis. All right, let's go on to Dee in New York and see if she has any. Oh, there, I said the name again. Y'all forgive me. Do you have anything this morning, sis?
I'm just getting in my car. Good morning, everyone. I'm not sure what you're speaking about. I just got on the line.
Do you have a testimony to share anything?
Let's see. No, I just, at this point, I'm praying for my clients. You know, I think about who I interact with during the day. And I have clients that are dying. And it's really sad. So I, you know, then we meet with their loved ones. And it's just difficult because I don't always get the opportunity to share about the Lord. You can't just say it right then and there when you're kind of going over paperwork and all that stuff, but I do pray for them, and then I ask the Lord, you know, if there isn't an opportunity that I can, you know, speak with them in the future or something like that. So that's the struggle sometimes, but that's about it right now.
All right, sis, thank you so much. But at least now, you know, on Wednesdays, this is y'all's, all of you guys' opportunity to have the floor publicly to give testimony or to share a word or, you know, to encourage other people because a lot of people need this, and it's wonderful for them to hear different People, let's try this lady. How you doing? Do you have a word this morning? And it is limited to 10 minutes, by the way. Good morning, sis. Do you have a word this morning?
Oh, no. I was just listening. I'm sorry.
She may not. Okay, I don't know if he is on yesterday when we talked about it.
Yes.
Now, like I... No worries.
I was under the impression...
No worries, sis. Oh, sorry. You was under the impression of what?
That it's just for Bible students to give a word, you know, a teaching. But that's fine. I just want to listen.
Oh, no, it's everybody. Yeah, you're welcome. Now, don't forget, I do have severe weather here, which they're saying may turn into a tornado. So if I get disconnected, y'all know what it is. And hopefully Denise will be able to pick it up from there. Okay, so let's continue. Let's see. Okay, well, what about you, sis? Do you have a word today, Miss Queen Bee?
Good morning, good morning. Are you saying Queen Bee or Queen Bee?
Just Queen Bee.
Okay.
I didn't know there's a difference. Hey.
Well, B and B. That's why I was saying Queen Bee or Queen D. You know, the first letter of somebody's, you know. But anyway, good morning, Queen.
Oh, I see. Okay, good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, Queen Mama. I love you so much. The Lord was speaking to me about watch and pray. We have got to be at a level of, and I cover what I pray and say and everything everybody else say with the blood of Jesus. We have got to have our discerning heightened, the Holy Spirit's heightened, not our own thing going on, to watch and pray. And to watch and pray, it means to be actively alert, vigilant, consistently monitoring your spiritual state while simultaneously engaging in prayer, essentially staying on guard against temptation and seeking God's guidance through prayer. This phase is often used in a Christian context, originating from Jesus' teaching in the Bible, particularly Matthew 26 and 41, where he instructs his disciples to watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Key point about watch and pray is to represent being aware of potential danger, spiritual attacks or temptation, like a guard keeping watch. For us to pray, to represent an actively seeking God's strength and protection through prayer to resist temptation and navigate through difficult situations, and not just giving up and realize we ain't all that. We all need each other. When you pray and it's not getting through, look, don't be saying, well, my prayers ain't working. Look, that's what the prayer of agreement is about. You go get you a brother or get you a sister. You come in agreement and knock that thing out. And then when we're here with Mama June, all this power up in here, hallelujah, you got to know how to come to your company. And then just everybody agree in a corporate agreement, and we pray. And there's more power in a corporate prayer than it is just me by myself. That'll make me less of a prayer warrior. It just lets me know I have to have wisdom when I can pray certain things by myself and get a breakthrough, and when I need some help, I need some backup. So, pray, as I said, represents actively seeking God's strength and protection through prayer to resist temptation and navigate through difficult situations. Overall meaning, I call to maintain spiritual alertness and actively seek God's help through consistent prayer. Just a little bit more and I'm done. Matthew 26:41 says, today, many talk about our need to watch and pray. Watch is a word meaning to have vigilant awareness, like a sentry at night.
Sentry is to be on guard for anything out of order. For the enemy's advance, for anything that might threaten his watch at night, this vigilant is even more pronounced. Watching in the spiritual sense of watching and praying is being aware of the snares of the world. Jesus said that the disciples were to watch and pray so as not to enter into temptation. He also said, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak, Matthew 26:41. By extension, Jesus is warning us to be on the lookout for anything in our experience on earth that would take away from our relationship with God. So many times people have idols in their heart, idols in their mind, and they wonder why they can't get a prayer through. Well, get rid of the idols and bow down to Jesus instead of your husband, your kids, your position, your money, or whatever. God always wants us to surrender everything and everybody, because anyone or anything that we hold as an idol would be a temptation to block any prayer that we want to, you know, get through. And that's for all of us to watch, because it's so easy. But as I said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And if Jesus is warning us to be on the lookout, as I was saying, for anything in our experience on earth that would take away our relationship with him, with God. We are to abide in Christ, John 15:5, be aware of the enemy of our souls. And I'm just going to kind of bring it on in. And, you know, 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. There are people that act like they love you, they like you. They're just trying to get in your business so they can see how to take you out and down. So we have got to be watchful. Ephesians 6:10-18, and you can do your homework later, talks about spiritual warfare, indicates that prayer is a vigil part of our armor, the armor of God, that is. We are to watch by being aware of the snares of sin and of the devil's schemes. We are to pray because it is God who has the power, and he has made prayer the means by which we communicate with him and receive his strength. And we are warned that moments may come at any time to stand before God. So therefore, we must watch and pray both, because we eagerly await his return and to be prepared when he comes or when we meet him through our own time of I'm going to say, departure. And so blessings to everyone. You, Mama Junior, awesome in God, and I just really appreciate you and all the things that you do and how you even allow people to partake in, you know, releasing the word that God has for them at that moment. So thank you, everybody. Be blessed to the max. We're not taking it back. We're taking over and advance the kingdom of God together. Love you all.
Sherry, you just tripped me out. Oh, I said your name. I'm so sorry. Girl, you tripped me out. I am telling you. I'm rolling. That was awesome. A++. Because you said it how it is, you know. People getting close with you because they wanted to take you out. I'm rolling. Y'all just wouldn't believe in ministry how much you have this go on. This is terrible. Sherry, that was a good one, sis. All right, so let's move on. And yes, I love you guys participating. I'm actually enjoying this tremendously. Look at all the powerhouse we got on here. Hey, just imagine when everybody catches wind. Wait till we get to Tracy and Denise and they release what they have. Y'all may never want me to say nothing else again. We may have to do this 2 days a week. Y'all really, I mean, it's just bottled up in there waiting on y'all to let it out. All right, let's go to the next lady. What about this powerhouse down in Florida? What's up with you, woman? Good morning. Do you have a word this morning, woman?
You talking to me?
Yeah, I'm talking to you.
Oh, I don't understand because you ain't seen the farm. No, okay.
Yeah, do you have a testimony or a word you'd like to give this morning?
Yeah, I like I'm gonna be like a preacher, but I got a word though.
Go ahead, go for it.
I got a word. I want to talk about wisdom and knowledge and understanding in Proverbs. Yeah, to know wisdom and instruction to perceive the word of understanding, to give instruction on wisdom, justice, and judgment in iniquity. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Because if you fear God, you won't have the wisdom and the knowledge to understand. Because if you fear God, you won't have wisdom and knowledge. Because if wisdom comes from God, you have to ask God for wisdom. Because we can't leave it up to our own understanding. We got to insert God. Because if we don't, we might go the wrong way. Because you're acting on your own and you ain't following instructions. Just like when you do the Bible class, we got to follow instructions. Because if you don't follow instructions, you might go the wrong way. And I'm glad you said whatever. And then I got Proverbs 4 and 5 through 7. Let's see. Proverbs 5. Get wisdom and get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the word of my mouth. For her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principle of things. Therefore, get wisdom in all thy getting. Get understanding, cause you got everything. You got all. If you serving God and you don't get understanding, you got to have understanding, cause you might be going the wrong way. If you follow your pastor, you gotta get good understanding. Cause you don't get good understanding, if you hear the word, you don't get understanding the word, just like you don't know the word. If you don't get understanding, cause it's wisdom is the principle of things. Therefore, get wisdom and get all with all thy getting, get understanding. Cause exalt her and she shall promote thee, and she shall bring thee honor when thou shalt embrace her. That you're talking about understanding, wisdom and understanding. You see, if you exalt her, she shall promote you. Which bring it to honor, she shall embrace. You shall embrace her. So we get all our wisdom now. We still got to have understanding, because we ain't got understanding. You still ain't getting away. You got to have final instruction. You got to have understanding. You got to have wisdom and knowledge. Because wisdom and knowledge. If you fear God, you're going to have knowledge. The fear of God is getting the knowledge. Because you fear God, you're going to have knowledge. If you fear God, if you ain't fearing God, you ain't going to have knowledge anyway. Though, but I just then I'm going to Proverbs 2:5-11. Let's see. 2:5-11. Proverbs 2:5 says, Thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord give wisdom out of his mouth and knowledge. For the Lord give wisdom out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He lay up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler for them that walk upright. He keeps his paths of judgment, preserve the ways of his saints. For thou shalt understand righteousness and judgment, iniquity, yea, every good path. When wisdom enters into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto the soul, this creation shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. Then he's talking about understanding again. Understanding shall keep thee. to preserve you. This creator shall preserve you, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the ways of the evil man, for the man that speaketh father things. That was, they would say, if you got understanding, he's going to deliver you for the righteous. If you're righteous, you're going to have understanding and knowledge. If you're living right, if you're serving God, he's going to give you, and you ask for it, he's going to ask and shall be given. He'll give you with understanding. That was Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all these other things will be added. Because if you ask God, if you're seeking God, you're going to seek, you're going to ask him for understanding wisdom, to give you wisdom understanding. Because without wisdom understanding, you're going to be a god on your own. Because you're going to be out there like a ship without a sail. Without God, we can do nothing. Without, Philippians 3:13 says, I can do all things through God who gives me strength. That's generally what we're going to do. Proverbs 3:4-6, thou shalt find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and thou shalt need not thy own understanding. For in all thy ways are knowledge, and he shall direct thy path. That means say, trust in the Lord. If you trust in God, so he shall find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Now, we got to trust in God, but I need not have our own understanding, because I need to have my own understanding, I might go wrong. If I'm following God's instruction, I understand, I know I ain't going to go wrong. Because I got to acknowledge him in all my ways. In other words, put God for everything. If you put God first, everything else going to fall into place. Then like I tell my sister what kept me to church at my son, I see you next Sunday. The Lord's will, always put God for it, because I don't know what's going to happen. Something could happen during the week, and I might not be able to do it. I'll use something else could come up. So I always say, if the Lord's will, I see you Sunday. So that's what I do. I put God for it, and I acknowledge him he'll direct my path. Because if I lean to my own understanding, I'm going to be going wrong. But be not wise in thy own eyes, for the fear of the Lord and depart from evil. You got to be wise, not in thy own eyes, but in the fear of the Lord. Because we fear God. If I fear God, I'm going to be fighting the will and not understanding anyway. And I got one more. Proverbs 3:19-20. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heaven. By his knowledge, the depths are broken up and the clouds are dropped down to dew. So that's what it says. See, God said, it was the Lord by wisdom found the earth. And understanding, he established the heaven. That's still wisdom and understanding. Still go together, wisdom and understanding. That's what he said, that God had wisdom and established the earth. By understanding, he established the heaven. By knowledge, the depths were broken up and the clouds dropped down to dew. It's still knowledge and understanding. You got to have that wisdom and knowledge to understand. Understand that what God's saying. He established the heaven and earth by knowledge and by wisdom and understanding and knowledge. So we follow God, we're going to have wisdom and knowledge and understanding. We follow instruction, we're going to have the wisdom and knowledge to understand the will of God. Because if we follow God, we save him and living righteously and walking in righteousness and living holy, and you're gonna be following God. You're gonna do everything the right way anyway. Because if your heart speaks, you're 100% following God. If you're gonna have wisdom, he don't give you wisdom. Just like Solomon, when God asked Solomon what he wanted, all he wanted, he asked God for wisdom. He could ask for anything in the world, but he asked for wisdom. So that's got the wisdom very important. That's a very important word, wisdom, because we get wisdom, we're going to get understanding and knowledge to follow instruction. Because if we follow God, he's going to lead you wrong. He's going to tell you what to do, tell you how to do it, how to do it, what to do it, and when to do it. And that's all, if you follow him, that's where it's going to be. If you follow your own way, your own understanding, you could do anything, could not be right, just like me. When I go to do something, sometimes my grandson is there. I'm going to go see this thing. I said, what you going to cook for tomorrow? I said, tomorrow ain't came yet. How you know we going to be able to see it tomorrow? We got to trust God. If God will, we'll see tomorrow, because we don't know what God will is, because God will ain't our way. Sometimes we think that God cares one way, God cares another way, because sometimes he give me instructions. Just like now, I was praying, asking God for an apartment. I didn't want to move to Tampa. Lord knows I didn't. I said, I want to never stay in no Tampa. I don't want to stay in Tampa. Like, now, I've been in Florida ever since 69. But I said, I don't want to stay in Tampa. And I kept praying and praying and praying. Every time I would pray, God, I said, Lord, I need an apartment. Because this house is deteriorating. I ain't got the money to fix it. And I know. Like, I tried to get funds to go. I tried about seven or eight or 12 times. Every time I try, they'll go so far and stop. And then I say, Lord, wherever you send me, that's where I go. And my grandson applied for me to get the apartment. That thing went through it. I applied for it in 19. That thing went through in 2020. Just like that. Everything fit into place. The funding, the day I moved, the truck, and everything. I said, well, that God will me to come to Tampa. God, I sure didn't want to come. But I was fighting every way I can not to come to Tampa. But anyway, that's what God put me in. So I knew it was God. Because everything I need, feeling me, I ain't had to buy nothing. I ain't had to pay for the truck to go and move the truck. He ain't charged me nothing. He got the U-Haul and put the front end and put the stuff in the truck and brought it to Tampa and ain't charged me nothing. And then when I got the apartment, I got everything. My pastor and his wife bought me a brand new living room suit, and her sister gave me a dinette set. And then my brother bought me full bar food chairs. Everything I had just fell into place. Just like that. After I said, Lord, whatever your will is, everything fell into place. Just like that. I ain't had to buy nothing. But Lord knows I ain't want to come to Tampa. That's where I'm at. That's where God meant for me to be. He meant me to be in Tampa. That's where he put me at. But I said, I ain't want to come to Tampa. Lord knows I did. But I'm happy, though.
That is so amazing. That is, your testimony is so amazing. What she's saying is she didn't want to move there. But God worked it out, and he paid for everything. I am tripping. All right, girl. Hey, you get an A++ this. I'm so proud of you. All right, now get ready to be blown away. What is going on, woman? Bring us what you got. Bring it. Hello? Yo, yo, yo. Come on, Miss Powerhouse. Bring it forth.
I don't have anything this morning. I'm just calling in to listen to you guys. I was just calling in to listen. That's all I was doing this morning. So.
Well, no worries. Hey, next week, bring the A game, girl, because that she's a powerhouse. All right, what about this one? Good morning, sis. Good morning. All right, she may not have anything because this did come up last minute, so I get it. All right, let's go on now. All right, y'all get ready to get your seats blown off. You got the floor, sis.
All right, well, good morning. And, yes, this all was kind of last minute, but by golly, we're to be in season and out of season anytime. So, basically, in a nutshell, this is kind of a spring forth of yesterday as well. But I'm going to go back to a phone call I got a couple days ago, and this woman was frantic. I haven't talked to this woman in 8 months. She was so funny. She was frantic. But before I get into what she was talking about, I want to come and give you this. Psalm 56:3 is, commit your works unto the Lord, and your thoughts shall be established. Keep that in mind. Your thoughts shall be established. Okay? And we're going to, the last one also talked about trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. We don't always know why we're going to do something and why the Lord tells us to do something, but we don't look to our own understanding, but we look to all his ways and we acknowledge him. So, and we're going to go to one other one, Psalm 143:8, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. All right. So this woman calls me up, and I've known her. I've worked in the ministry with her for a good 14 years, maybe 8 years. I can't remember how many years now, but enough to know she knows how I minister and my personality. So she calls me up and she goes, I got to talk to you. I know I haven't talked to you in a long time, but I have to, and she's frantic. I have to talk to you. You are my John the Baptist. I have to talk to you. I know you will not give me any fluff if I talk to you. You're going to give me truth every single time, and you're going to tell me what to do even if I don't like it. It's just on and on and on, and I won't get into it all because she went on for quite a while of that type of a exhortation to me, and I'm thinking, okay, well, this is nice. So I'm asking her, you know, what is her problem and this, that, and the other thing. And she told me what it was. And yes, I had to give her a wedgie and pull her up by the shorts and say, no, this is what you have to do and this is how you do it and da 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 da. And she goes, I knew it. I knew you would tell me the truth. I knew that you would that's the way you are. You tell the truth, and you're not afraid to do that. So when we're talking here, when the scriptures talk about commit your works unto the Lord and your thoughts shall be established. Yesterday, Miss June was talking about being bold. All right. So we need to remember that sometimes when you're in the ministry and you're ministering to people, I don't know, this is what I do anyway. I am constantly looking to the Spirit inside of me to what to say and what to do and where to go with it. And in order to be bold, you have to know that you are hearing from heaven. You have to have that confidence that we have in him, that one, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Do we have that confidence that Jesus is in us and that we will hear his voice and that we will hear what these people need to hear? Sometimes when I say speak things out, I'm thinking this is the stupidest thing I have ever heard. But yet you speak it out, and I'll tell you what, it will pan out like no tomorrow. This is where we have to get out of that thought process. Oh, I don't know anything. I don't know enough of the Lord. I can't do that. I'm not good enough. I am a weakling. I don't have that kind of faith. I don't have this. I don't have that. And that is all baloney. That is just baloney. That is called fear. That is called you don't want to. That is called maybe insecurity. Maybe you don't want, maybe you'll you think that they will think less of you. Okay, those are all things that are stopping. It's all things that are stopping you from getting into the glory of the Lord. One of the things she said is she said, I was one of the strongest women she's ever known. That really hit me. And the Lord expounded on that as the day went on. He goes, I need strong people in the earth. I need bold people that are going to speak what I'm going to give them. I need those people to speak truth to these people and not be afraid. When you stand there in confidence that this is the will of God, this is what the Bible says, this is how it is going to go, whether you like it or whether you don't, it doesn't matter. And I'm not saying be mean or be cruel to anybody or be a smart aleck or anything like that. There will be a way when God gives it to you how to say it, when to say it, and the words to say. And he will give you the truth. And sometimes when you're in a group of people and you speak that truth out, more than likely others are thinking the same thing. And they're going to go, yeah, I want to know that too. How do we find that out? And that's how you just keep going. Do not second guess yourself. This is how you step out. Now, am I bold? Absolutely. These people know I'm bold. I've got people in the ministry that will come to me and ask me why I am bold. Number one, you do have to know your word. You do have to know God's character. You do need to know what the word says about whatever it is you're facing. I was down and I was ministering and I had a couple come to me and they said, oh yes, we live together and we're Christians and da 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 da. And immediately in my spirit, the Lord says, are you going to tell them the truth? Or are you just going to go, oh, isn't that nice? Well, he knows me well enough. I cannot go, oh, that's so nice. No. I had to get into it. I told them that fornicators go to hell. But God, and that there was more to it because God separated them. I talked to the woman, then I talked to the man, and then I talked to them together. and God ministered to quite a few people. He did that with me for about 3 years in the ministry, that ministry. And every single one accepted it. They never heard it before. The church doesn't preach on it anymore. How many people would have stood before that couple and gone, oh, that's so nice, instead of giving them the truth? Because I'll tell you what, my heart was pounding. It was not the most funnest thing to do until I realized the church isn't talking about these things. This is where God wants people to stand up with truth. I challenge you, speak the truth in love to the people around you and don't be afraid. I'll tell you, my family doesn't like what I tell them either. They haven't rejected me yet, but they listen. They don't like it. And that's okay. Be bold. Be brave. And God is the one that will pour his love all over you. He will pour his truth all over you. And he will pour it all over you. And people will get free. People will get free. Talked to one gentleman in jail. I'm kind of thinking about this God thing. And took him through the death, the burial, the resurrection, about the blood. And by the time I was done, I said, is that something you want in your life? And he's like, yes. But why did he want that? I was bold enough to tell him the truth. And he accepted it. So I challenge you this week, work on yourself. Have confidence that God is in you. Have confidence that you are a child of the Most High God and you do hear his voice. And the voice of a stranger, you do not follow. I just thank you for that. And we just pray right now for everyone that has heard this. I thank you, Father, that it lights a fire within every spirit, within every heart, within every person that will bring the gospel to the lost, to the hurting. And I just thank you, Father, for that fire to be in them. And we pray blessing and peace over June and over that weather garbage that's going on in her place, that all of her stuff will stay connected in the technology. There we go. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Back to you, June.
Yes, you know what, Denise? It is so true because, like I said yesterday, we cannot assume that people know what is the truth. You cannot assume that those people knew they were in sin living together.
Yep.
Because,
yep, that's right.
You know, Denise, when we was younger and we was going to church, you know, back in the 20s and whatnot, when we was in our 20s, you know, they used to preach about sin. You know, they used to preach, you know, oh, you cannot be living with somebody. You better stay a virgin. You know, they used to preach about, you know, drinking and yada, yada. They don't, now that you think about it, you hardly ever hear them touch on sin.
No, you don't. You don't. And that's one of the reasons, you know, even this woman, she was talking to me on the phone. I know you're alone a lot. You're alone a lot, but you're alone because you talk truth. And I thought, yeah, it's very true. When you do speak truth, expect that people are not going to like you. Just expect it. Okay. That way it saves you from getting hurt.
Yeah.
But yeah, they don't preach on it anymore. They don't. And it's so frustrating.
It is. Go ahead.
Well, I was bawling yesterday because a lot of this stuff is all designed to drag people to hell.
Yeah.
Keeping people in sin, not letting them repent. You know, they've got, you know, their buddy Jesus. Jesus just loves you just the way you are. And you don't have to repent or any, you know, whatever. And it's just designed to drag people to hell. And that hurts me. Yep. Yep.
Well, wait till y'all see the graphic I made from our show yesterday about agreement. I've got two people shaking hands, one with a suit on and one, you know, dark, and one with light. I mean, it was a perfect setup. Talking about the test that is coming for us in the agreement. He's wanting us to come in agreement. See, this is that hive mind. And it's about to get real now, especially in the church. And I guess I'll go. Well, let me put you on mute and I'll say what I wanted to say real quick. I need to say it while I'm thinking about it. All right. Last night I was noticing what a lot of the NAR preachers are prophesying right now. And they're prophesying about a revival. You know, the revival they've been saying all these years. You know, that is coming, but it has never come. All right, so they're saying, and this came from Dutch Sheets. I was listening to him last night because he's one of the top ones. He was talking about it is here. So it is going to be in the streets, on public display. And then I thought about, you know, that woman from FEMA talking about, when I tried to, you know, address Trump's role in all this, first thing she said is, you know, just get ready for a Saul conversion. You know, so she let us know this is coming. You know, just wait until he, you know, acts like he got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. Just like what's his name prophesied about him back in 2016. That, what's that guy, Kim Clement. So we ain't seen deception yet. So when it comes to the agreement deal and about the being bold like Denise was talking about, all right, let's just go down that road a minute. You know, let's just say that while they're doing all their shenanigans, they're going to allow the church to be on the front stage. Just like, and I want to remind everybody of this, 2017, 2018, President Trump did that. The first 2 years while he was mowing it down with laws, he led the church in the White House. He gave them a seat at the table. They was doing all these videos, having all these meetings. So he made the world think that he was partnering with them. He gave them a seat at the table and all of this other stuff. But it was all a farce. Because the rest of the 6 years, what did he do? Turned his back on them. Okay. Until he needs them again. So now he's back. But the point is I can totally see that happening again because they've got to keep the church distracted for at least 18 months. Because the 18 months is when they're going to be getting everything in order for the global ID for the part two and part three of the global ID. Remember, he rolled out part one in his first presidency, which was the V, which is why it is still required to this day because of what it does to people. Okay, so that's part one. Part two is what's coming, and part three, the social credit score and the carbon credit score. Okay, so in the first 2 years, he's going to keep everybody distracted, probably let them be on the stage, partner with this to make everybody think that going into the metaverse, into this new element that they're all going in, is all of God. It's so sick and twisted. You know, and you'll see by my graphic, it's a really good visual of what is coming. Because they're going to make it look like it's God that is bringing everybody into this new age of technology, this new golden age, this new transformation of the government and everything. And, you know, it's going to look so glorious. Just imagine. I mean, because right now YouTube has been taken over. It is such, YouTube is such deception right now. I can't imagine when they start doing that. It's going to be overflowed with testimonies and baptisms and people saying, wow, this is so cool, you know. And just like we saw during the COVID when they did all that farce. You know, but you knew what they was doing out there. A lot of people are going to get sucked in because they're going to come in agreement with it. Okay, now let's go down another road, which I was talking about on this article I just posted, you know, of yesterday's sermon. I couldn't get it posted because the audio was too big. But anyways, let's talk about the UFO agreement. And that's another thing they was really pushing all over YouTube last night, is that this is UFOs. So they are getting ready to go down that road. So let's say that Denise is out and all of these people she's talking to are all like, wow, man, this is UFOs. I can't believe it. What are we going to do? And, you know, she's standing there as someone that knows the truth, right? So what is she going to do with that? Is she going to be like, yeah, it is pretty crazy, and just be quiet? This is where the enemy is coming in. Because if you cower down, you're making everybody in that group think that you are in agreement with this ultimate deception, this farce of a farce, this lie against God Almighty, the one that you love. Because when they try to say that UFOs come in here and that this is a real thing, it totally shoots out who God is. So no, why would we come in agreement with this thing? So then what would Denise do? Denise would turn around and say, y'all, I know this is what the media is saying. Because listen, I've learned this in communication. Always acknowledge your opposing people. I'll do that first. Don't just shoot them down with, you know, all this. Start out with, I hear what you're saying. Because they want to know that you're at least considering their argument, okay? And you do. I mean, you are truly listening. So you tell them, say, look, I hear what you're saying. And I understand, you know, with you looking at the mainstream media and then point it out where they're getting their source. Where is your source? This is the key of it. I understand, you know, by you looking at this and, you know, that it appears to be this way, you know. But I'm just telling you guys, it's all a farce. It's all because, and then you have the open door to tell what it is. This is a distraction because they're bringing in the global order. And they're trying to get everybody to drop all of the differences and come together in this hive mind. That's what they're doing. You know, they want everybody to come in agreement that this is a common enemy. So that everybody will all of a sudden love their neighbors. But it's through lying and deception. So let's say Denise stands there and she doesn't say anything. Okay. And she's been witnessing to Miss Jane over here that's on the right. And Miss Jane is really has a heart, you know, wanting to know what is going on in the world. And, you know, she's really confused because there's so much deception out there. And she's been kind of listening to, you know, Denise a little bit. All right, so, and then if she watches Denise cower down to the pressure of the public when they're all in agreement and operating in this spirit of fear, that's going to speak volumes, you know, to that girl. But when they see a courageous, bold ambassador of Christ rise up in gentleness and love, and say, when the door opens for her to be able to give her opinion, if they will allow her, most people never let me. They never, if I'm in a group and they all know who I am, they never ask my opinion. Because they know, they don't want to know. They all want to say what they think and want me to listen, but they don't want to know what I have to say about it. But if the door opens and you have an opportunity to say, then that's when you rise up to the moment. This opportunity has come to your door. Truth, they're about to receive truth. They may hate you, punch you, knock you down, be so mad because you're going against their man. You're going against their favorite TV show. You're going against these people that they trust. You're going against their mama who swears what they're saying is true. You're going against their pastor who is getting up there every Sunday in agreement with this thing. So who are you, you know? So the consequences of you releasing that truth is where a lot of people won't let it go because of that. But this is where the apostles had to make the very same decision. They knew that when their opportunity came forth and they spoke the truth about who Jesus was, that they would be beat and killed. Even Paul, when he was going to Jerusalem, the prophet come up to him and say, no, don't do this, you know, because you're going to end up getting beat if you go to Jerusalem. He goes, no, I already know I'm going to be killed when I go there. Paul already knew, and he still had the boldness to go and to preach the gospel, knowing the consequences that's on the other side of that obedience. Even Jesus, when he spoke truth to the crowd, you know, they would be beating on him to try to kill him because the truth literally cuts like a knife. It literally hurts their ears. They did it to Jesus. He would get out of the crowd, you know. But the point is that if they did it to Jesus, they're going to do it to us. But we cannot, as a child of God, unless the Holy Spirit tells you be quiet. Now, y'all know I've had him do that to me many times. One time when I was in the White House, I was sitting in the press corps. And this, remember, God told me when I went in, he said, I want you to be quiet for 4 months. I don't want you to say nothing. I said, okay. So I go in there, mind my own business, have my little table, do my little work, go outside, do my thing in the burning bush, you know, and then I leave. I did my own thing. One day I was sitting there, and here comes CNN. Because, you know, I got to finally learn a little bit about who's who in there. So CNN came. They had like 5 other people with them. And they all gathered around me. And the Lord spoke to me when they walked up to me, said, don't say anything or be very careful. This is a trap. So the Lord let me know to withhold my tongue. Okay, he may do that. And I did. You know, they were like, who are you? Where are you from? What's your education? You know, what gives you the right to be in here, basically, is what they was asking. But they were fishing for information. Okay, so the Holy Spirit will lead you. But this is the hour that if the real church, we can't expect anybody else to do it, y'all. Anybody listening to this, I don't care what country you're in. I don't care what church you're in. I don't care what city you're in or what anything. It all boils down to this. There is nobody else that you can trust that will speak the truth except you. Don't assume anything because people are, I mean, they're so deceived right now. So it's all on you. You are the change. God's going to bring situations to you and opportunities for you to be able to speak the truth. So when the world comes in agreement, I mean, now I'm saying this now, okay, it will change, I'm sure, whenever we get into the implementation of the final 2 and 3 and, you know, the police, or of course you wouldn't want to there. I'm just talking about right now while you still have a little window. Does that make sense? I mean, there's coming a day we're going to have to be underground completely and not say nothing to nobody and, you know, kind of hide out. I'm not so sure we're at that point yet. We are pulling out. We are headed out. We are headed, you know, down. You know, but we're not quite to the point where we're running to the mountains and the caves yet. There will come a point you won't say anything, you know. But right now with this deception, we're still at that point of, you know, people may be able to listen, but we still have to be truthful about it. All right, let's go to the next person. All right, let's see. Here we go. Hey, what about you, sis?
Oh, okay. Well, I must have missed out because I don't know what's going on. But I do want to say when I heard the first one this morning, oh, I won't say his name, but talking about the Trinity and all of that, well, the Jehovah's belief. I have a friend, he talks about, I mean, he's real good, he's Christian filled, but he has this flawed thinking that he doesn't believe in the Trinity. He's always saying, well, you know, how can Jesus be God if Jesus is praying to his Father? And, you know, and it's probably like he said, it's picking, you know, certain scriptures and not putting them all together. But I just wanted to say thanks for bringing that up, because I've been struggling on how or if to try to change his mind or let him tell him to dig deeper or something. But that's really all I got to say.
All right, sis. Thank you so much. Listen, everybody. The weather is really severe here. I have the thunder's really loud. So if I could have graces with you guys, I have two more people to speak, and then we will shut this down today and be back tomorrow, and then we will go back to the prayer tomorrow. Okay, let's go to, let's see, who's the other one that hasn't spoken here? Okay, here we go. Miss Percolator, how you doing?
I'm good. How are y'all? And the only thing I have, because I am working. Last night I was in Galatians, and I just wanted to read. If that's okay.
Yes. Go ahead.
So I'm in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. So it says, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now that works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresy, envying, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such things is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and love. If you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So that was the scripture I read, and I was really looking at last night in Galatians. And we just have to be sacrificed to the Lord and really watch and make sure that we stay in the spirit and not of the flesh. Because a lot of times we find ourselves seeking after things and realizing that we are not walking in the spirit. So that was just the word of the day. I'm going to get back to work.
That was really great, sis. You get an A++. Thank you so much. All right, what about you, sis? Now, you wasn't on the call yesterday, so you probably didn't know we was doing this. Every Wednesday, we're going to open up the floor for people to preach 10 minutes so that everybody can hear from everybody else. Do you have anything this morning, sis?
This is Sister Darlene.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm in agreement with everything else that everyone else said. You know, we got to walk in the truth no matter what and do it in love to the best of our ability. And if people can't receive when you're taking what's written in the scripture and clarifying their misconceptions because they're not reading the scripture, you have to stand on the truth. I mean, you have to stand. Yeah, we have to stand. That's all I have to say. You have to stand. You have to abide in Jesus always. Walk in the Spirit. Deny your flesh. Crucify yourself daily. Pick up your cross and carry it. Because sometimes it is a burden when people are harsh with you and they rebuke you and you know they don't want to hear what you have to say. But sometimes you just, you know, when there's a door open and they're asking, then you give it. And other times you just, you know, you got to ask the Holy Spirit, is this, you know, what should I say? What should I do? How should I approach this? And, So I'm in a complete agreement with what everyone else said. I'm right now... I had to step back from my responsibilities leading the local Good News Club because I kind of come to the revelation that through figuring out some things that, you know, came together that I had to reinterpret some of the actions of people in the past and in a different light in terms of the spiritual battle that's going on. And like you said, some people are not going to receive what you have to say. You know, I just tell them it's, you know, everyone has access to a Bible. You need to start opening it up and reading it because I'm not going to, there's no point in for some people to tell them because they're not open. Because for someone like, if I have an older person in mind, and but sometimes when people get older, they think that because they've lived their life, and you know, Jesus said it's harder for a rich person to get in. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich person to get into heaven, and the reason is that is because if they think that because they have certain things in this life that they've done everything right, then who am I to tell them, right? Because I look foolish to them. So some people can receive what you have to say and other people can't. And you just have to continue to pray for everyone, you know, that they're going to repent and turn because nothing that, you know, people have done you wrong, nothing you or I that I could ever do to them, if I wanted to, I don't care to, is going to be any harsher than an eternity spent separated from God. So, yeah, I have nothing else to say at this point. But I've had to kind of step back here and do some reflection lately And I had made a comment when you had your Jesse on about what did he have to say about Christmas. But I realized this is the darkest time of year. And Jesus said, you know, you're light and salt. You know, if the salt loses its savor, it's good for nothing, good to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. So sometimes we seem a little salty to people. And then other times you have to shine, the light shine before men. And you got to give glory and praise him and do good things and let your light shine before men. So in this season in the northern hemisphere, at least, because it's summer in the southern hemisphere, this is a dark time. So I am looking to Christmas to celebrate that, you know, Jesus is the light that came into the world, you know, that there's darkness. And that his light is shining forth, and that we need to be the lamp that cannot be hidden, but it's got to be put up, and you have to let your light shine before men. And you have to do that in God's strength, not your strength. It can only be through his strength, because I don't have a lot of strength left at this point. I have to absolutely lean into him.
Yes, amen, sister. And that was a really good encouraging word. I understand you had to step back. A lot of the things that we get involved in, you got to make sure what their connections are, because then that connects you. You know, you don't want to be a part of a wrong vine type of deal. So I hear you, sis. All right. Well, that's everybody this morning. I want to thank you all for being here. And for all of you guys sharing, you're such a blessing. And I'm going to get off here.